Amen. I love that song. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Truly, the human heart is always longing for and hungering for the things that God has to offer, even if we don't know it, even if we're too ignorant to know it. We're always longing for the things that He promises and that He offers. Let's open with prayer this morning. Father, I thank You for this beautiful morning. Lord, I thank You for this time that we can gather together now around Your Word. I pray, Lord, as we open it, that You would open our hearts and our minds to draw close, to be quieted before You. Father, to see and behold the things that You have for us this morning out of Your Word that would be a blessing and a challenge and an encouragement to each one. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I want to look at a subject that by no means will be new to anyone here, except maybe the littlest babies. But it's so important and so key and so valuable to refresh our minds in relation to this. And that is the sufficiency of Christ. The sufficiency of Christ. I want to start this morning in Colossians chapter 1. And we'll begin with verse 12. Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And in and of itself, that is quite a miracle that God's able to make us meet, or you might say positioned or worthy to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Truly quite a feat to be able to take a little worm or a little rat like us and make us meet or able, worthy, ready, prepared to be partakers of God's glory. Truly a miracle. He says, who hath delivered us, verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Through Christ Jesus, we have redemption. We've been purchased. We've been bought back. Redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And here we go, verse 16. For by Him, by Jesus Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. By Him and for Him. All things. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Every bit of the fullness of Almighty God Himself dwells in Jesus Christ. All things, it says, were made by Him. All things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all of these things. If I may, he's making sure he got everything. Everything. The visible stuff, the invisible stuff, the earth and the sky and the seas and the thrones and the dominions, all authority and all power, it's all been created by him. And by him, it all consists, it all holds together. He doesn't need anything else outside of himself to accomplish anything that he desires to accomplish. By him and for him. By him and for him. He is the head. This all-encompassing, all-sufficient Christ is the head of the body. We don't need anything else. There's no lack. There's no shortage. The very being who created everything that exists. And it was created by him and for him, and he holds it all together. He is the head of the body. The head is what sends direction and help and assistance and orders the body. The head, the brain, the mind is what sends the impulses to, hey, we need more blood over here. Hey, we need some calcium over here for this bone, or whatever it might be. The brain, the head is what directs all of that. And the head of the body of the church is this totally sufficient, all-powerful Savior, in whom is all the power and all the goodness and all the potency needed to, by his own word, create everything that we can see and that we can't see, everything that exists from thin air, out of nothing, by him. It was all created. And by him, it all continues to exist. It consists. It's held together. And he is the head of this body, of the body of the church. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness or completeness dwell. Christ Jesus isn't part of the answer for anything. He's the answer. And God himself has vested all of his fullness. It's not that Jesus is taking away from the fullness of God, or that it's in conflict to say Jesus has it all, because God even took and said, hey, I'm going to take everything that I have, all that I have, and I'm going to vest it in him. He is the fullness and the completeness of me. It pleased God, it pleased the Father, that Christ Jesus would be the complete, total package of everything, the fullness, the absolute completion and containment of everything is in him, in Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, one of my favorite passages, he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Is there anything that we could possibly need that doesn't pertain to either life or godliness? No. All things. He says it has pleased him, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of Him. Through the knowledge, not just head knowledge, but this is the word knowledge here is a knowing, a friendship, a deep connection and union like you would have in a marriage. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. Through getting to know Him and walking with Him, as we read in 2 Corinthians this morning, as we behold His glory, we're changed from glory to glory. As we dwell in it, as we bask in it, as we take it in and allow it to become part of our lives, we become changed from glory to glory to become like Him. And He says it, through the knowledge of Him, through knowing Him, He pours out everything that's needed for life and godliness. It doesn't come through any other means, but through Him, through the knowledge of Him, through getting close to Him. Grace and peace and all things that are needed for life and godliness. And not just all things that are needed, but all things that pertain to it. Anything that has anything to do with it. It's not just, oh, well, this isn't technically a need. I guess I could get by without it. But everything that even pertains to life and godliness that you could ever possibly need or want or think would be nice to have, everything that pertains to it comes to us through knowing Him. Because He is the fullness. He is the complete, entire culmination of everything that God is and everything that God has done and is doing to humanity. Everything. And He says it comes to us through the knowledge of Him. Verse 4, He says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. By these, by His promises, by His word, by His presence, by knowing Him, these things are given to us, these great, exceeding great and precious promises, that by them we might be made partakers of the divine nature. By His fullness, by His completeness, He draws us in and makes us part of the very nature of God Almighty. Romans 11, verse 34 through 36 says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor, or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Of Him, through Him, to Him, by Him. He's the completeness of it. He is the one who is the beginning and the end. He is the one who contains everything within His very being. All the presence of God, all the power of God, all the goodness of God, all the holiness and righteousness of God. It's all contained in Him. And He's the head of the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6, He says, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. It all comes to us through Him. God isn't doing some work through Christ Jesus and some work some other way. He isn't saying, well, Jesus is a way. Jesus is a way of salvation. Jesus is one of the ways you can have dispensed to you the grace and the goodness and the blessing and the forgiveness, the salvation that you need. No, Jesus is it. You get it from Him or you don't get it at all. He is the only means of contact with God Almighty. And people all down through history have tried to weasel in other things. The Catholic Church says, well, you need Jesus and Mary. You need Jesus and the saints. Other religions will say, well, yeah, he's a good prophet. You got to take all the good prophets and take them all. He's got part of it. He's got some of the truth. But God says of Jesus Christ, it's all in Him. It's all in Him. Everything that I have vested in my Son. It either comes to you by Him or you don't get it at all. He's got it all. You don't come to me asking for me to give you something outside of Jesus Christ. That's why He said, when you come to the Father to pray, pray in the name of Jesus. Because that's the only name, the only authority on which God is giving out any blessings. You come in the name of Jesus, or there's no answer to prayer to be had. Because it comes through Him, or it doesn't come at all. God has taken everything that He is, everything that He does, and He's vested it all into Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the completeness and the sufficiency. We don't need something outside of Him. He is the Word of God, both the written Word, the spoken Word, and the living Word. He is the completeness of the Word of God. He is the water of life. He is the way. He is the door. He is the Lamb. He is the altar. He is the holy place. He is the mercy seat. He is the high priest that comes and sacrifices that sacrifice and that blood on the altar, which is Himself, and presents it before the Father, and Himself brings it and pleads our case. He Himself stands before the Father, pleading His own blood. He's the high priest. And the sacrifice, and the mercy seat. He's the completeness and the fullness of all of it. It's interesting to see as He's hanging on the cross and to realize all the things that are going on behind the scenes that we don't realize, that God Himself is the Lamb at that moment. But they didn't take His life from Him, it says. He gave it up because He was the high priest that slew the Lamb, which was Himself. And He was the high priest who took that blood and went. He said He ascended up into heaven and He brought that blood and He presented it before His Father. His own blood. He's the one who rent the curtain of the temple and opened a way to God. He Himself is the fullness and the completeness of the entire work of God. God didn't create some of creation and Christ create some of creation and the Holy Spirit create some of creation. All of it was done through Christ. Everything that God has ever done in relation to this world, in relation to mankind, it's all been done through Christ. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There's just one. There's only one way. And He contains all the fullness and the completeness of who God is. at all of God's dealings towards all of His creations, from beginning to end, is all been through, by, and in Jesus Christ. And He says it's going to be for Him too. It's for Him too. And it says that there's coming a time when God will put all things under His feet and make Him head of all. Because He is the completeness and the fullness of all of God's character and all that God is. So many passages in Scripture speaking of Christ. It says, it uses that one word, which is so important not to miss. All. All. He's all righteousness. All things that pertain to life and godliness. By whom are all things? All things were created by Him. By Him all things consist. He's given to be the head of all things. He's the fulfillment of all things. It's all contained. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 says that God hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. How many more times do you want to get all in there, Paul? Says he's got all in these two verses. Several times again and again, because He's trying to make a point. It's not just most, it's not just some, it's not just almost all, but it's all in Christ. Every bit. It's contained in Him. The fullness of Him that filleth all in all. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says, God at sundry times in divers manners spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, but hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness and the glory of His glory and the express image of His person, the exact particular, complete image of who God is, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. By Himself purged our sins. He was the sacrifice and the priest and the altar and the mercy seat. He was all of those things. So by Himself, He purged our sins. He's the express image of the person of God, upholding all things by the word of His power. Someone asked me the other day, they said, do you think when Jesus says to Philip, He says, Philip, have I been so long with you and have you not known me? When Philip says, hey, show us the Father, and it suffices us. He said, do you think that Jesus actually expected them to have known that? Said, well, it was by no means the first time He told them that. And being in His presence, they should have realized that. And it wasn't a lack of knowledge, because He'd already said it. It was a lack of belief. It was a lack of being able to comprehend or being willing to comprehend and fully embrace that Jesus Christ is the complete fullness of God Himself here, now, in the flesh. It wasn't for lack of Him having told them that. He said, Philip, have I been so long with you? He didn't say, have you not known that? He says, have you not known me? Have you not known me? Because knowing Him, you cannot help but know that He is the fullness of God and the express fullness and image of God, that everything He is. Jesus said, I don't say anything or do anything of myself. Everything I do and everything I say is exactly what God would say and do if He was standing here right now. Every minute detail, I am the exact image of God in the flesh. So as we serve this Savior, we can look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 through 10. And it says, He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. Yes, I think it would be. The sufficiency of Christ is so permeating and so all-encompassing. Yes, I think it would be. My grace is sufficient for thee. If it's not, what more could He give? My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul's response is, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities or my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Okay, Jesus, if me being weak makes you stronger, I want to be as weak as I can be. Because I'm going to glory in my infirmities. I'm going to glory in my weaknesses, because that means the power of Christ can shine through more. That the power of Christ may rest upon me, He says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. I take pleasure in infirmities. I take pleasure in my weaknesses and my strugglings and the hard things that come my way, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. If being weak's the criteria for God to show His power through me, then let me just go on and say, I'm as weak as can be, Paul says. Christ has all the sufficiency, everything that's needed. When Christ went back to heaven, He said to His disciples, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. All power. How much is not included in that? There's nothing that's not included in all. He says, my grace is sufficient. It's enough. It will sustain. It will hold. It will cause you to abound and to grow and to flourish through His grace and His sufficiency. Paul says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. When I realize that I can't, that makes me the perfect candidate for God to do it. That makes me the perfect candidate to know that He can. I can't. Great. That's the perfect spot to be in. Because now, as I step aside saying, Lord, I can't, He steps in and says, I can. And there's nothing that He can't do. His grace is sufficient. Everything that is needed for life and godliness, it's all there. All that's needed, it's all in Him. I don't need anything more. I don't have to try to conjure something up, because it's all in Him. It's all there. It's all available. All I need to do is realize I'm weak. Step aside and say, Lord, you have your way. You do your work. I'm going to take pleasure in my infirmities, Paul says. I'm going to take pleasure in the fact that I'm weak, because then that means God's going to step in and take care of it. I think that's something Gideon maybe learned just a little bit of, right? When God said, hey, you have too many men. And he takes away a huge portion of them and leaves him with 10,000. He says, you still have too many men. Gideon's looking saying, how? I mean, the enemy that they're about to face, it says that they were like the sand of the sea. Camels without number. Gideon's like, we have too many? But God put Gideon into a place where he was weak, and he knew he was weak, and he fully depended on God. And that's when God stepped in. When they were weak, they were the strongest they could possibly be through Christ, through God. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Let's pray. Father, this morning we lift up and exalt the name of Jesus Christ, which is the name above all names. Lord, in Him is the fullness and the completeness. Words fail to express. Father, help us to be willing and able and humble enough to fully embrace who we are, our weaknesses, our failings, our insufficiencies, so that we can see you move in your all-sufficient sufficiency to fulfill and to be and to glorify your name through our lives, through the things you do in us, when it's obviously not us. Father, teach us to embrace our insufficiency in light of your ultimate and uncompared sufficiency. In Jesus' name, amen.